listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, from the 2019 Columbus Catholic Men's Conference, the lead-off speaker, Jesse Romero. Here's the MC, Fred Schaefer, with the introduction. Enjoy.
We are blessed because Jesse Romero is on fire for Christ. His dynamic and upbeat, Christ-centered preaching and apostolate, the on-fire evangelization, has taken him all over the country. You can hear him nationally on EWTN and Catholic Radio. And we've actually put in a full bio of Jesse, so I encourage you to look in the program and read all of the ways you can find out more about him and his apostolate. With his talk, Spiritual Warfare, Put on the Armor, the Catholic Armor of God, please welcome Mr. Jesse Romero.
All right, let's begin, men. This morning, I'm going to be, this is what I call a Catholic roll call. I'm going to give you some briefing. You guys are going to be a bunch of street cops. You're going to hit the streets. And your mission is to evangelize the world. So I'm going to be your team leader, the watch commander. And I'm going to do some roll call right now, give you some Catholic briefing and intel so we can storm the streets for Christ. Amen. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open up my lips so that my mouth may proclaim your praises. Lord, give me the tongue of an angel that I may speak the truth in love. Lord, prepare my hands for battle and prepare my fingers for war. Come, Holy Spirit. Come by the powerful intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, your most well-beloved spouse. We cover ourselves with the precious blood of Jesus and claim the full armor of God in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, this is called 911 Jesus. My name is Jesse Romero. I am your team leader. As a good watch commander, I'm going to tell you about the problems, then I'm going to give you the solutions. You are the solution. Amen? Amen. You are the solution. So what are the problems? Let's get right to it. Since I've only got 50 minutes, I cannot beat around the bush. What are the problems? Well, there's a guy named Paul Harvey who back in the 60s, this little story is attributed to him. I think he lines up the problem better than anybody I've ever heard. Here it goes. Problem, solution. Problem. Paul Harvey says, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking that they had come from man's efforts instead of God's blessings. If I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. If I were the devil, I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. If I were the devil, I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. Remember, this was written in the 1960s before Roe versus Wade. If I were the devil, I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. If I were the devil, I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that the life of animals are valued more than human beings. If I were the devil, I would take God out of the public schools where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. If I were the devil, I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young. And would get sports heroes to advertise them. If I were the devil, I would get control of the media so that every night I can pollute the mind of every family member for my agenda. If I were the devil, I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. If I were the devil, I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. If I were the devil, I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and make movies, and I would call it art. If I were the devil, I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and that their lifestyles should be accepted and marveled at. If I were the devil, I would convince people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves elites, authorities, and refer to their agenda as politically correct. If I were the devil, I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date, and I would convince people that the Bible is for the naive. If I were the devil, I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. If I were the devil, I guess I would pretty much leave things the way they are. Paul Harvey, good day. That was prophetic. That was written in the 60s, men. Everything that he spoke about has already happened. It is firmly in place right now. The unthinkable, what was unthinkable, is already firmly in place. There are two kingdoms. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, in his book, The Spiritual Exercises, he says, you have the camp of Satan and the camp of Christ. Period. Saint Augustine says, you have the city of men and you have the city of God. Saint John Paul II says, you have the culture of life and the culture of death. St. Paul in New Testament theology says you have the children of darkness and the children of light. As Catholics, we were born to be part of Team Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're part of the winning team. We are the solution. But too many Catholic men, they're sitting in the sidelines. They're not in the fight. St. Paul, when he writes his letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and following, and he tells us to put on the armor of God. He's letting us know that life is a battle. In fact, that's what Job chapter 7, verse 1 says. Life is a battle. Pope Leo XIII says, Christians were made for combat. Amen? We are fighting for the soul of the Catholic Church right now. We have demons of sexual perversion who have infiltrated the Catholic Church at the highest places. Not only lay people struggling with sexual perversion, it goes all the way to the top of the food chain. The devil is an equal opportunity tempter. Amen? In fact, he prefers to go after those that have rank in the church. If he takes you out, he can destroy a family. If he takes a priest out, he can destroy an entire parish. If he takes a bishop out, he can destroy the entire diocese. So, I'm your team leader. You guys are all cops. You're about to hit the streets. Your mission is to go out there and evangelize. There are 50 states in this great nation of ours. 50 states. I'll tell you one thing. What state gets you to heaven? Living in a state of grace. Not living in Ohio or Indiana or Arizona or Texas. Definitely not New York or California, okay? And I say that I lived 53 years in California, okay? 3 years ago, I just moved to beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm new to Phoenix. But here's the point. As a Catholic, no matter where you live, to get to heaven, which is a goal, that's the goal. There's a place called hell. Let me tell you. You got to stay away from that place. And you got to save your family and your progeny. That's your goal. Heaven and hell. The stakes are high. They are high. And as a Catholic man, how do you avoid this? You say, oh, my closet's full of guns and AR-15s and assault rifles and handguns. So what? That's cool. Mine is too. I'm a Second Amendment guy too, okay? But that's not going to save your soul. Oh, I go work out, Planet Fitness, this, that. I do too. That's not going to save your soul. Oh, I'm immersed in politics. That's good. So am I. That's not going to save your soul. What is going to save your soul is living for Jesus. And let me tell you something. When you live for Jesus, it's contagious. It's radioactive. We want to become radioactive Catholic Christians. Amen? And so, how do we get to heaven? How do we change this? How do we turn the ship? We got to live in a state of grace. Let me tell you the power of living in a state of grace. This is so near and dear to me. I wrote a book about this. State of grace, what does it mean? I mean, this is what I'm going to give you this morning is old school Catholicism, amen? You ain't going to get balloons, banners, and butterflies here, wrong conference. Nope, nope. Living in a state of grace is being a friend of God, being a friend of Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. You want to get to heaven? Here is Bible truth. James 2:23. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Why? He was called a friend of God. When the Bible says you're righteous, that means you're in a state of grace. You're in a right relationship with God. Bible says, James 4:4, unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The Bible says in John 15:13-15, our Lord says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. If you die, which you will, 100% of us are going to make it. Promise. If you die a friend of God, you will go to heaven. You may pass through purgatory, as most of us will, to purify all the imperfections of all the sins that have been forgiven, all the imperfections of the soul. But nonetheless, even in purgatory, you're saved. You're on your way to your Father's house. Amen? The goal in life is this, at all costs, to die in the state of grace. To die as a friend of God. If you die an enemy of God, you're a loser. You've lost everything. Your whole life was a waste. Every single breath that you took, everything that you did was an absolute waste if you go to hell. The goal is to die in a state of grace. So what does it mean, biblically, to be a friend of God? What does it mean, doctrinally, to live in a state of grace? To live in a state of grace is the spiritual condition of a person who has sanctifying grace in his soul. That is, the person is free from mortal sin and seriously disordered inclinations to sin. Basic definition, free from mortal sin. Mortal sin will send you to hell. If you die in mortal sin, I don't care who you are, a king, a president, a pope, a bishop, a cardinal, a priest. It doesn't matter who you are. You die in a state of mortal sin, you're going to hell. Period. The Bible says God is no respecter of men. Venial sin wounds the soul. Doesn't destroy the life of God. Doesn't destroy sanctifying grace. It wounds your soul. You can still be saved and make it to heaven through purgatory with venial sin, but you cannot be saved if you die in mortal sin. Mortal sin, Romans 6:23, the Bible says, the wages of sin are death. St. Paul's referring to mortal sin. Venial sin wounds the soul. Let me tell you how powerful it is. There's one person that doesn't want you to get to heaven. His name is the devil. You know what the word devil means in Hebrew and Greek? It means the one who destroys or the destroyer. In Greek, the word devil means the exterminator. Tells you everything you need to know. Just look at his name in Hebrew and Greek. What does the name Jesus mean? In Greek and in Hebrew, God saves. Yeshua tells you who Jesus is. God and what he does save. Amen. Give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus. Yes. Yeshua. Yeshua. God saves. Life is short. Death is for sure. Sin is the problem. And Jesus is the cure. Amen. I'm going to teach you a little short prayer written by St. Anthony of Padua. It's a minor exorcism prayer approved for use by lay Catholics. It's in my book. I like praying prayers like this from the old school Catholic prayers for the saints. St. Anthony of Padua. 1,000 years ago, he wrote this prayer. Repeat after me. It's a minor exorcism prayer. You should be praying at home. Sanctify, purify your house. Repeat after me. Behold the cross of the Lord. Begone, all you evil spirits. The line of the tribe of Judah. The root of David has conquered you. Amen, alleluia, amen. Give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That prayer is 1,000 years old. Guess who prays that prayer every day over my house? Right here. And after today, I'm sure every time you look at a crucifix, you're going to want to say that prayer. Amen? So living in a state of grace. When you live in a state of grace and friendship with God, free of mortal sin, guess what? That is putting on the armor of God. That's what St. Paul's referring to in Ephesians 6:11. The armor of God is being clothed with Christ, with sanctifying grace, being free from mortal sin. That's the point of Ephesians 6. The devil isn't afraid of 20-inch biceps. The devil isn't afraid of any UFC fight or an NFL player. You know what the devil's afraid of? He's afraid of UFC Catholics. Ultimate faithful Catholics. Amen? Amen. Give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Tell the guy next to you, tell him, you got to be a UFC Catholic. Tell the guy right next to you, tell him right now, you got to be a UFC Catholic. You got to be a UFC Catholic. Ultimate faithful Catholics. UFC Catholic. Ultimate faithful Catholics. Amen. You know what the devil's afraid of too? He's afraid of MMA Catholics. MMA? Mother Mary's Army Catholics. Ah, Mother Mary's Army. Tell the guy right next to you, both sides, you gotta be an MMA Catholic. Tell two guys right now. Tell two guys. Mother Mary's Army. Living in a state of grace, that's what it means to put on the armor of God. Let me quote to you a couple of high information Catholics. All right? High information Catholics. There's a high information Catholic by the name of Saint Therese of Lisieux. She's a doctor of the church. There's 36 doctors of the church in heaven. You know what a doctor of the Catholic Church is? It's a saint. It's a super saint. It's a saint whose understanding of God, prayer, the interior life is so elevated, they've broken the glass ceiling. They've taken our understanding about God and prayer and the interior life to new heights. St. Teresa of Lisieux is one of the doctors of the church. Look at what she says about the power of living in a state of grace, being a friend of God and being free from mortal sin. She says this, a soul in the state of grace has nothing to fear from demons. Demons are cowards capable of running away from the look of a child. Is this microphone on? Did you just hear that? So demons aren't afraid of your Glock or your AR-15 or your Beretta, your 9mm, your shotgun, your Moss shotgun. What are demons afraid of? When they see you in a state of grace. They fear you.
They fear nothing else. They fear the soul that's a friend of God. Let me quote to you a couple of other high information Catholics. Okay? Father Chad Ripperger. He's a professor of exorcism at Mundelein. Here's what he says. The first state of protection against demons is to live in a state of grace. Father Antonio Fortea, he's the top exorcist in Spain, and he teaches in Europe. He's a PhD in exorcism. I know him well. I know both these men well. I pick them up from the airport, take them around when they come to California. Father Antonio Fortea says, the best shield and armor against the attacks of the devil is prayer, the sacraments, good works, and living in a state of grace. You know who I'm quoting to? You know who I'm quoting to you right now? I'm quoting you the top of the food chain in the Catholic Church. You know, see, I'm an ex-martial artist, okay? I was pretty good at martial arts. I used to want to be the Mexican Bruce Lee once upon a time. I was pretty good. You can watch some of my fights on YouTube. Type in Jesse Romero's fight montage. I was pretty decent. But let me tell you, all martial artists know the top of the food chain for a martial artist is Bruce Lee. I am quoting you a bunch of Catholic Bruce Lees right here. I'm going to give you one more. Top of the food chain. Father Gabriel Amorth. He was a Vatican exorcist for 31 years. He just passed away in 2016. He was picked by St. John Paul II. Here's what he says. For a Catholic to live in a state of grace means always to say yes to Jesus Christ and no to Satan, according to our baptismal promises. If we do not, we fall into sin. Increasing and safeguarding the state of grace is a victory against the ordinary activity of demons. I just quoted to you three of the top exorcists in the 20th century of the Catholic Church who do hand-to-hand combat with demons. They all say the same thing. You want to be strong against evil? You want to be effective for Christ and His kingdom? You must live in a state of grace. You can't be a double-minded man. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be, I'm a Catholic on Sunday, but on Monday, I'm going to sign the abortion infanticide bill. You can't do that. That's being a double-minded man. You're either all the way in or get out. Amen? Amen. Give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm giving you guys right now? This is called soul food. Amen? Amen. Food for the soul. Amen? I just want to see how much time I have because, boy, there's a whole lot I want to say. How much time do I got? 15, 20 minutes? You let me know. Let me know. Oh, yes. All right. All right. I ran a boxing gym for many years. I trained fighters as well as fought. And when I would train fighters, my boxing gym was in East Los Angeles, which is the boxing capital of the United States. That's the mecca of boxing. And I remember young kids from the street would walk in and they'd watch the top pros and stuff, top amateurs fighting. They'd say, Coach Romero, I want to be a Golden Gloves champion one day. I want to be a diamond belt champion. I want to be a silver gloves champion. Can you train me? I'd say, it's possible, but I want to see your commitment. Okay? I'm not going to waste my time on somebody. I got a lot of fighters here. I'm not going to waste my time. I want to see your commitment. So I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. For 3 months, I want you to come every day, and I'm going to teach you how to stand like a boxer. I'm going to teach you the boxing stance. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to hold your hands up. All I want you to do for an hour and a half for the next 3 months is come in, look at the mirror, and all I want you to do is jab punch, okay? That's it, okay? 90 minutes, jab punch. Is that it? That's all I want you to do. Nothing, how about push-ups? No, that's all. If you do that for 90 minutes, for 3 months every day, I'll train you. You'll be part of the team. I'll tell you, when you look at the sport of boxing, the sweet science of boxing, and even the strikers in kickboxing, you'll find that the best fighters are those that learn and do the basics well. Do and learn and apply the basics well. As Catholics, I want you guys to be elite Catholic warriors for Christ. UFC Catholics, Ultimate Faithful Catholics, MMA Catholics, Mother Mary's Army. So what do we have to do? Go back to the basics and stay there. That's all you need to get to heaven. The Catholic faith is not complicated. It's not brain surgery. Don't say, oh, I've got to go and get all these degrees from some liberal Catholic university. No, no, no. In fact, don't do that. You'll destroy your faith. Don't go get a Catholic degree and actually learning New Age garbage. There's only a few good Catholic colleges, unfortunately. But Jesus Christ didn't say anywhere in the Bible that he came to die to make theologians. He came to die to make disciples. Amen? Amen. The word disciple means a student of the teacher. That's what it means in Greek, mathetes, a student of the teacher. We are lifelong students of Jesus Christ, his holy Catholic Church, and his holy gospel. Amen? Amen. So what are the absolute basics that a Catholic should be applying for the rest of his life? What's the 1-2 for a Catholic? What's the 1-2? Not bad, huh, for 57, huh? So, can you imagine 30 years ago? Woo! Man! Indispensable to the life of a Catholic is the sacrament of confession. Confession! How often? Have you heard of somebody called St. John Paul II? He said, right now, the times we're living in, we should be going to confession once a month. That's what he said. Have you heard of another Catholic by the name of St. Padre Pio? He was asked back in the 60s, how often should a lay Catholic be going to confession to a priest? He said, once a month. Have you heard of a Catholic called Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen? He was asked back in the 70s, how often should a lay Catholic go to confession? Guess what he said? Once a month. I just quoted you three giants. Three giants of the Catholic faith. We're living in dark times right now. We're living in evil days. Some of you may say, I go to confession once a month. I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm generally, thanks be to God, free from mortal sin. I got venial sin, you know. Just waking up and watching MSNBC, I commit venial sins, you know. Yeah. So I go and receive the sacrament of confession because even though I just have venial sin, it gives you sanctifying grace. It makes you stronger. It gives you the life of God. And it also gives you the grace to even fight against that concupiscence of venial sins. So as Catholics, I'm telling you right now, the times we're living in right now are so dark right now and so evil. But we have the light of Christ. The sacrament of confession should be used by every Catholic man starting from this day for the rest of your life at least once a month, period. And I know in your guide, I heard that there's an examination of conscience. A lot of Catholic men say, Jess, I don't go to confession because I don't know what to confess. Are you kidding me? Come over here so I can slap you. I don't know what to confess? Read the examination of conscience, okay? You'll poop in your pants. I don't know what to confess. Let me tell you something. Here's another practice. See, I'm your team sergeant, amen? And you guys are the street cops. You're going to hit the streets. I'm giving you Catholic intel, amen? Because I want to make you effective for the kingdom of Christ. Here's another technique. The catechism says to do this. Paragraph 1457 and 1458. The catechism says, Catholics, confess your venial sins every day to God. It's right in the catechism. How long has it been there? Since 1965, Vatican II. So here's what you should do at night. That way you make sure that you protect yourself and your family. Because if you're protected, if you're living in a state of grace, it affects the entire household. Okay? St. Paul talks about this theology. Your sin affects the rest of the body of Christ. Especially if you're a father, it affects the rest of the family. Your virtue, good works, your state of grace also affects the rest of the family. You don't believe me? There's a study. I've got it in my book here. By the way, everything I'm quoting, it's a book that I wrote. It's called Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. I got a cool picture in the front. It's got a Catholic crusader with full battle gear. I was speaking at a men's conference. I think it was in Wisconsin. There's about 1,500, 2,000 men. Right next door, there was a big Islamic conference. Right next door. So the Muslim gentleman would walk over to the Catholic area, vendors area, in between the talks. This one gentleman walked up to me. He said, who wrote this book? I said, oh, I did. He said, I don't like that picture. You know what this picture is? Okay? These are called crusaders. If it wasn't for these brave Catholic men, we wouldn't be having a Catholic conference right now. We'd probably be having an Islamic conference. Because if it wasn't for these brave Catholic men who fought to preserve Catholic civilization and Catholic property and Catholic Bibles, the world would have been overrun by Islam back in the Middle Ages. These Catholic men are the reason why we're sitting here right now and have Holy Mass and the true religion and the gospel. Give it up for those men. God bless them. Give it up for those men. So when the gentleman said, yeah, that's the reason why I put that picture in my book, because they saved the Catholic Church. I don't think he liked my answer. I don't know. However, going back to every night, here's a good practice to make sure you're on your way to heaven. Heaven. Make sure you're pointing towards the North Star. Before you go to bed, examine your conscience. There's an examination of conscience in your book. I got one in my book. I got mine is from the Fathers of Mercy. For Father Bill Casey, Father Wade Menezes, they use that on EWTN for all the employees. That's the one that I use. Examine your conscience before you go to bed at night and say an act of contrition. You know what the Catholic Church says? If you say an act of contrition and you do it from the heart, at that moment you put yourself in a state of grace. All your venial sins are gone. And, P.S., if you have mortal sin, your mortal sin is also forgiven with the caveat that you go to sacramental confession as soon as possible to ratify that act of contrition that you did during the week. It's a win-win situation, the sacrament of confession. Amen? Okay, number two. Remember, that was the left. That was the left right here. Now, what's the right? What's the right? Go to Mass as often as possible. Why, what do you get at Mass? Balloons, batteries, and butterflies? No, not, you're not supposed to get that. What you get at Mass is the only thing that saves us. It's called the blood of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Do not let anybody get in the way of you going to Holy Mass every Sunday for the rest of your life. That's the way you're saved, the Bible way. We're saved on God's installment plan. One Eucharist every Sunday at a time. That's why St. Paul says, as we behold the face of God, we are being transformed from glory to glory. What does the devil fear? We know this from Revelation chapter 12. I think it's verse 11. He fears the blood of Jesus. That's what he fears. Because the blood of Jesus gives us eternal life. And what does the devil want to give us? Death. Eternal death. The best thing that you can do for yourself as a Catholic is to go to Holy Mass as often as possible in a state of grace. and receive the Eucharist at least every Sunday and the holy days of obligation for the rest of your life. You know what happens at Holy Mass? That's called like Jesus blood transfusion. Amen? You know why? Because we're all sick patients. We're all cancer patients. That's what mortal sin is. And sin in general. We're dying. We're dying patients. We're on death row. And there's only one person's blood that can save us. Not your mom, not your dad, not your kids, not your spouse. The blood of Jesus. There's only one place to get the blood of Jesus. It's not Walmart. It's not Target. It's not Rite Aid. It's in the Catholic Church. That's why the devil wants to destroy the Catholic Church. He hates the Catholic Church and he hates the priesthood because it is through the Catholic Church and the Mass and the Eucharist in particular that the world will be saved. And he wants to do anything to destroy this. The devil doesn't fear other religions. Are you kidding me? He manipulates them. St. Paul talks about doctrines of demons. Oh, there's doctrines of demons outside of the Catholic Church in a large scale. The Catholic Church, the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ is that narrow path that gets you to heaven that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 7. Give it up for the Catholic Church, Holy Mother Church. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm pretty, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. What did I tell you? Hey, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I actually got in my book 12 things that you got to do to be battle ready living in a state of grace. I've given you the two most important. Here's another one. Start becoming a weekly adorer. Say, you know, Jesus, there's 168 hours a week. I'm going to go spend an hour with you every week and just sit there in sacred silence. Take my rosary, my divine mercy. Take my Bible. Take Jesse Romero's book. You know, take Tim Gray's book. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to spend time with you. I want to become holy. I want you to just let your light shine in my soul. I'm going to tell you right now, perpetual adoration is one of the greatest weapons that we have right now. That thanks be to God, to St. John Paul II, he kind of brought it back. It kind of went out. It went into disuse. He brought it back. And I'm telling you, this is making a difference all over the church. I was talking to two priests who are captains. One's a captain in the National Guard. Another one's a captain in the Army. One was spent like 4 years in Afghanistan. The other one spent like 3 years in Iraq. Both of them came back one day. I was talking to them, had lunch with them. They had their laptops. They were all excited. Jesse, look at what I discovered. Both these priests told me independently. They said, I was in Afghanistan. I was setting up perpetual adoration chapels in this city. And this priest told me, everywhere where I set up adoration chapels, they were not destroyed by terrorists. Those churches were not destroyed. Same thing with the other priest who's a captain in the National Guard. He said, in Iraq, everywhere where we set up perpetual adoration chapels and the Iraqis came and were adoring Jesus, those churches, those chapels weren't bombed by ISIS. They were left unscathed. You think that's a coincidence? That's a God incidence. Amen. Here's another one. Mexico, Ciudad Juarez. I know a little bit about Mexico. Okay. I'm a little expert about Mexico, okay? In Mexico, Ciudad Juarez, it was known as the most dangerous city, one of the five most dangerous cities in the world. Top five dangerous cities. Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, back in 2009. What changed Ciudad Juarez, Mexico? There was a Catholic priest, went and talked to the chief, said, hey, chief, this year, 2009, 2,750 citizens in Ciudad Juarez were slaughtered and butchered and killed by the Mexican cartels. Where's our protection? Who's helping us? Where's the police? The chief said, well, Father, the police... The police what? Well, the chief is, he's a bit compromised. What do you mean he's compromised? Well, the Juarez cartel kind of like gives him money so he can do this. So the father tells the mayor of Ciudad Juarez, okay, well, what about the military? Can you send out the military to protect it? They're slaughtering us in the streets. The mayor told the priest, well, the military, what about the military? Well, the Sinaloa cartel, they're a bit compromised as well. So the priest said, so you're telling me, mayor, we have no protection in Ciudad Juarez. Yeah, father, that's about the size of it. This priest called a meeting with all the Catholic priests in Ciudad Juarez, said, front center in my parish, told all the priests, we got no protection here. The police are on the take by one cartel. The military's on the take with another cartel. We got nobody else. They did what Peter said. Lord, whom to should we go to? You have the words of eternal life. This priest says, I want all of us as priests to set up perpetual adoration chapels in our churches. All the priests said, we got nowhere else to go. Let's go to Jesus. That's what I call 911 Jesus. Amen. Five years pass. This priest goes back to the mayor. 2014-15. Mayor, how many people died last year at the end of 2015? The mayor told the priest, he says, 253 people were killed by the cartels. So in 5 years, the murder rate went from over 2,700 innocent Mexicans were getting slaughtered by the cartels. 5 years later, it went down to 253. What happened? The mayor told him, whatever you Catholics are doing, keep it up, because it's making a huge dent in the crime in the city. I've talked to priests from Ciudad Juarez. They tell me that you got, because Catholics are so, they know they have nothing to lose. They go out there and evangelize them. You're in mortal sin. You got to get right with God. Many of these drug cartel members are coming into Catholic churches with their fully automatic rifles, putting them down, getting on their knees and crying out to Jesus and coming back to the Catholic Church. That's the power of adoration. I'm done. Let's close with a prayer. I think my time is up. By the way, some of you may say, not all of you, some of you are going to say, man, I'm glad this guy, I'm glad he's done. I don't want to hear him again. Some of you may say that. I get it. I'm not for everybody. Some of you may say, man, this is good stuff. I want this Catholic briefing every day. You could listen to me every day. I do two shows. I podcast two shows every day. I've got a radio ministry. It's called virginmostpowerful.org. virginmostpowerful.org. See the way I just spoke right now? I speak like this 2 hours a day. I'm a Bible-thumping, evangelical, Roman Catholic Christian, spirit-filled with devil-destroying theology. You want to get some soul food every day? On your iPhone, download the app, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I do two shows a day. Two shows a day. I'm on several stations across the country, and you can also catch me on the internet, Facebook, and YouTube. You know what I want to do? I want to just wake up Catholic men. I want Catholic men to fall in love with Jesus. That's what I'm all about. Because 30 years ago, some cop in a black and white police car helped me fall in love with Jesus. And I want to return the favor. Amen? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you and we praise you that you have given us the gift of faith, Lord. There are so many people, Lord, that are wandering generalities. They're lost in our society of secular humanism and moral relativism. Father God, you chose us before we even chose you. We didn't merit the gift of faith. We don't deserve to be Catholic Christians. We are wretched sinners. But Lord, You looked upon us with your mercy and you chose us gratuitously. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the gift of my Catholic faith. And I thank you, Father God, for sending us the greatest gift 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. Anybody who will be in heaven at the end of time will only make it to heaven through him, with him, and in him. There is no other Savior. There is no other Redeemer. We are blessed to be part of his kingdom, part of his church, part of the household of faith. Father God, we thank you for sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism and for giving us Holy Spirit power at confirmation. Father God, I just ask you to stir the graces of baptism and confirmation in these men, that you may quicken their soul and quicken their hearts, and they may open their hearts to you and surrender. Father God, we need more men. We need more men in the Holy Mother Church militant. Father God, we got 3,000 men here. They are ripe for the taking. Soldiers of Christ made for combat. Father God, strengthen their resolve. Father God, in Jesus' name, give them all an increase of faith and hope and love. St. Michael, pray for us. St. Michael, be with us. Descend upon this arena. St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, descend upon this arena. Pray for us. Protect us. Guardian angels, guard every single one of us. Our hearts, the four corners of our house, our family, our marriages. The Bible tells us in Psalm 91 that God has given us all an angel to hold us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. Father God, and we thank you for giving us the Queen Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the New Testament Ark of the Covenant. Mother Mary, we ask you, most beloved spouse of the Holy Spirit, pray for us, intercede for us. Mother Mary, we all want to be mama's boys. Hold us in the mantle of your motherly love. Mother Mary, cover us with the veil of your holiness and purity. Give us a clean heart. Make us pure men of God. Saint Joseph, patron of the Catholic Church, protector and guardian of the Holy Family, protect all of us as men. Cloak us in your fatherly protection. And we surrender to Jesus through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as St. Louis de Montfort would teach us. And so we pray the words of the angel Gabriel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. When I say Jesus, you say I trust in you. Jesus. 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 When I say Jesus, you say I give you my heart. Jesus. 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 Repeat after me. I cover myself. I cover my family. I cover my offspring with the precious blood of Jesus. The blood that was shed for me on Calvary. The blood that saves our soul. The blood that feeds me in the Holy Eucharist. The blood that makes hell tremble. Lord Jesus Christ, cover me and my family with your precious blood. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Faith Alive is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You've been listening to Jesse Romero from the 2019 Columbus Catholic Men's Conference. If you'd like to download a copy of this talk, please visit stgabrielradio.com and go to the special features page of our audio archives. Again, that's stgabrielradio.com, the special features page of our audio archives. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thanks for being with us. God bless and have a great day.